Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Wednesday. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll get back into what's trending, all the big stories of the day. I know Dan Quinn is actually meeting with the media right now up in Flowery Branch, so we'll relay to you some of what he is saying today as well. Jason Longshore going to join us in studio at 1:20. It'd be good to talk to Jason. Haven't talked to him in a couple weeks with Atlanta United getting back into it this weekend. But as we are going to do every single Wednesday from the Falcons Radio Network, Dave Archer joins us to talk to Falcons.
The pride of Iowa.
The pride of Iowa.
You know the game day is going to be there?
Is that right?
Yeah.
This weekend?
They said it's the hottest ticket ever in the state.
Oh, that's exciting, Arch, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a hot ticket. It's hotter than the Iowa State Fair, and it's tough to get in there, boys. So it's a big one.
That's awesome. I can't wait to see what that looks like on Saturday. Obviously, on Sunday, we're all going to be watching what the Falcons do on Sunday night against the Eagles. If it was up to you, Arch, if you were in the coaches' rooms this week, what's the first thing that you would have been focusing on coming out of that Vikings game?
Let's see. First thing would have been to try to emphasize our number one concern defensively, we stop the run game.
Right.
I think that would be the number one thing I would try to get worked out. I think it's something they've worked on a ton. I know there's been a lot of talk about lack of preparation. Those type of things hit you in game one a lot of times because most teams don't show a lot in the preseason, and you can get hit with some things that you haven't necessarily seen. I don't necessarily think that was necessarily the case. I just think he got beat physically in the game, so you got to double down on your efforts of how tough you're going to play. We didn't play overly strong at the point of attack on the perimeter, so that would be something I would be emphasizing. I think that was sort of part of Coach Quinn's anger after the game because he prides himself on them being tough on defense, and they got pushed around on the perimeter of the defense. And they tightened their belt in the second half. They were better in the second half, but you might have been in a situation where the damage had already been done. So that'd be number one. Number two, you've got to find a way to get Ryan going early. You want to get the run game going, certainly. But I think that there was some stagnant stuff on offense. I would not be surprised to see them come out with some tempo to start the game against Philadelphia. It'll be interesting to see how they play that out.
They had a big loss in the game in the first-round draft pick in Chris Lindstrom, and now – you're having a situation where you're having to rotate the tackles. And you said this last week on our show, Dave. I said it before of how the continuity of those five guys up front. Now you got Jamon Brown starting in at right guard. But, yeah, you still have this rotating thing at right tackle. Do you think they can overcome it? Because we know how hard it is just for five guys to play.
Well, I think they can, Randy. But I think the rotation at right tackle will minimize some this week.
Okay.
Caleb played, I think, more than they thought he was going to be able to play because I think Sorella was in there a couple, three times maybe in the game or for a couple, three series maybe. So it was Caleb's show. I think he played 50-plus snaps in the game, if I'm not mistaken. So I think that'll be minimized even more this week as he ramps up with his conditioning. And you're not plugging in a rookie. Jamon Brown's a veteran player that you're going to plug in. There's no question. This is not a group of five that have played together. You didn't play this five together in the preseason. So they're going to have to really get on the same page in practice this week. And there'll be some things they don't see. You got to deal with Fletcher Cox in the middle, who's a monster for anybody. And so there'll be some mistakes. There'll be some errors in the game. But you hope that the value of the football and maybe some running room for Devontae is in the offing for the Falcons.
What did you see from Caleb McGarry in his first start in the NFL? I know they were still rotating, but like you said, he played a lot of snaps on Sunday. What did you see from him in his first go-round?
Yeah, I didn't think that it was too big for him. I did not get a chance to see the mauler in him, which I think he has. Mm-hmm. I think his ability to come off the ball and really absorb and just destroy people on the perimeter, I don't think we've got a chance to see that yet. And those are two really good defensive ends. Danelle Hunter and Everson Griffin are very good on the edge. They're veterans. They're Pro Bowlers. And so it was a nice indoctrination into the league. Now, not really going to get much of a step down. But he gets Brandon Graham. That's a guy that's been successful in this league. And Derek Barnett's in his second year. So he's just kind of getting his feet wet as a starter in the league. So maybe a little bit better scenario for Caleb, but he'll be better because of the reps he got this week. But I think he was credited with maybe giving up one sack. It wasn't his fault.
Mm-hmm.
Those damn tight ends are going to chip the edge of the defender, not the inside shoulder, and shove him by. And that's what happened on the sack on McGarry. Got to chip that outside shoulder. Come on, Randy.
It's your fault, Randy.
Hey, it's my fault.
You played tight end.
You know that,
fault.
Dave. Don't ever trick the tackle. And Dave, I know you, so far you're probably in the beginning of your prep for this game. And if you're going in there as a defensive coordinator, going against this Eagles offense, who scares you the most? Is it D-Jax? Is it those tight ends? I mean, what's the first thing that you say to yourself, we got to stop this guy?
Yeah, well, the number one thing, Randy, is you can't give the explosives up, right? And that's what they did that in the run game last week. But DeSean Jackson, I mean, just blew out of the box back in Philly for the first time in, 4 or 5 years, has a couple of monster plays, 8 for 154 and 2 touchdowns. That's an entity they really haven't had recently. Aguilar isn't running by anybody. Alshon Jeffrey doesn't run by anybody. DeSean Jackson gives them that entity that they haven't had maybe since he's been there, since he's been gone. So that's number one. Don't give up the explosive play. And this is a team that likes to throw the ball to the tight end. This is a Randy McMichael special.
Yes.
Now, Zach Ertz got 116 balls last year. Goedert caught 33. That's 149 receptions by your tight ends alone. So they do like to spread the ball around. It's a short, kind of the West Coast passing attack, slants, hitches. They'll take what you give them. But then if you start to hug up, then they'll take the shot, and DeSean Jackson gives them that opportunity. And then they've retooled at running back. You know, Jordan Howard comes over from the Bears, who's had a good career. How about Jordan Howard? His 6 years of football, college football, UAB, to Indiana, and then the 2 years in Chicago, or now he comes over to Philly. He's got 49 rushing touchdowns in those 6 full seasons as a rusher. So the guy has a nose for the end zone. Big back that can pound you. It's a good football team, guys.
Falcons Radio Network analyst Dave Archer joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, as he's going to do every Wednesday throughout the season. Last couple times the Falcons and the Eagles have squared off, Arch, last year and in the playoffs 2 years ago, the Falcons offense struggled. What do they need to do this Sunday to make sure that they have a better offensive performance?
Yeah, they got to finish drives. And they've moved the ball on Philly. In fact, if you go look at Julio Jones's numbers, this is a team that he has feasted on, mm-hmm, over the years. He's played 6 career games. You throw out the rookie game where he caught 2 passes for 22 yards. He's got 5 consecutive 100-yard games against Philadelphia. He's just completely annihilated their secondary. The one thing he hadn't been able to do in the last 3 trips, or the last 3 games, is get in the end zone. He's catching 9-10 passes a game for, 445, 150, 160 yards. And no touchdowns. Got to find a way to get in the end zone. They've moved it in the playoff game. They moved it. They moved it last year in the regular season game, but could not finish drives. Philly was number one in the league last year in red zone defense. They didn't start the season as well as they played last year against the Redskins. The Redskins were able to move it and put points on the board. But you've got to be able to finish drives. They have never had a problem moving the ball against Philly. They just haven't been able to finish. Some of that has to do with Fletcher Cox and their inability to block him. Mm-hmm. I would get him blocked, number one. But you have to be able to finish drives, and that'll be a big thing. If you look at the 2 games, the playoff game and then the game that started last year's season, it was almost the same game.
Mm-hmm.
And the game finished the same way, where you couldn't get in at the end.
Yep.
You've got the last 3 games, you're averaging 12 points.
Ooh.
Against Philly in the last 3 games. Got to find a way to get the ball in the end zone, the red zone.
Hey, real quick, Dave, during training camp when we were up there, I looked around, I was like, are they playing a 3-4 defense? And then you saw them come out in that. Do you think that is going to help this defense maybe generate some more pressure from the front?
Well, it's supposed to be a variety look,
uh-huh,
Randy. They're playing a lot of bear look.
And right.
I'll let you describe what that is to the fan when I get off.
Uh-huh.
To solid in the middle, and then they walk Tack and Beasley up on the edge. So essentially you have what would be qualified as 5 defensive linemen on the field playing kind of a nickel set behind it. But as you know, against the Bear defense or that 46 look, solid look, you're vulnerable on perimeter run game.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how much they actually play that this week, or if they go back to a little bit more conventional 4-3 where they have solid edge defenders like Bailey and Claiborne and those guys that are bigger body guys playing the perimeter.
Arch, we appreciate the time. As always, we will we'll chat with you next week, and of course, we'll be listening on Sunday.
Hey, have fun Saturday.
You got it. Take care, guys. See you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.